But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you, says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Mm-hmm. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Do not be afraid, for I am with you.
You have been chosen to know me, believe in me, and understand that I alone am God. There is no other God. There never has been, and there never will be. I, yes, I am the Lord, and there is no other Savior. From eternity to eternity, I am God. No one can snatch anyone out of my hand. No one can undo what I have done. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator and King.
I am the Lord who opened up a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea.
I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I defeated them.
For your sakes, I sent an army against Babylon, forcing the Babylonians to flee in those ships they're so proud of. I delivered you.
But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do.
For I am about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland.
The wild animals in the field will thank me, the jackals and owls too, for giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make rivers in the dry wasteland so my chosen people can be refreshed.
And you are faithful to keep guiding me through. And my strength will only be found in you. Only in you. So let hope rain down. Cause you are faithful to keep guiding me through. And my strength will only
to this time of year that is Thanksgiving. And we always get to look back at the incredible story and the faithfulness of God, and some here who have journeyed the whole way. And I'm so thrilled that Doug and Marty were able to join us this afternoon. Like, so grateful that you... are just still a part of that courageous story, and we're going to share a little bit later about the Thanksgiving opportunity. But even before we experienced 2020 and we started hearing unprecedented use of the word unprecedented, and everything just seemed to be, you know, going on hold, what I am so thrilled about is God and His kingdom does not go on hold. He is still doing that which he purposes to do. He is still bringing about that which he will bring to life. You know, I love listening to these guys and the descendants of Asaph, and just knowing that all that happens when everyone is shut down. And no, we're going to keep exploring what God is doing. The whole digital area that we've stepped into and will continue to step into. It's exciting to me. And before this even happened, November last year, you might remember Thanksgiving, God positioned us uniquely for what was ahead. The building went debt-free. We were put in a position that where we would, in all natural senses, be fully exposed going into this COVID time. God had prepared the way that we would come out of it in a somewhat stronger position than we went into it. That's an incredible thing. We're exposed. The cafes have shut down. Gyms have shut down. Swimming schools have shut down. Churches have shut down. Even on the coast, churches have shut down. They're not coming back. And yet, thank God for what he is doing and continues to do in our midst. And we need to continue to seek him and pray about it and look to it. But as much as we go into it from a position of strength for the road ahead, we need courage. As we gathered back together for our first big gathering, we felt it really was important, and the theme needed to be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. The unseen and the unknown can be daunting. Can also be exciting. Depending on your disposition. Some people have a strong aversion to the unknown and seasons of insecurity. But the words that anchor the encouragement, be strong and courageous, are these. They don't stand alone. They stand right with these words. For the Lord your God is with you, and he will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. We can be strong and courageous because he will never leave. He will never forsake. He's with us. Thing is, when Moses spoke these words to Joshua, recorded in Deuteronomy 31, he also knew he wouldn't be going with them. God speaks this word to Moses. I'll show it to you, but you're not going with them. And he then turns to Joshua with this affirmation and says, you're going to lead, and you can be strong and courageous because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You see, the confidence we have is God's character and his promise. And that is what lays this firm foundation for the future. Where we trust him, we will walk confidently. Let me say it again. Where we trust him, we will walk confidently. We had a memory verse. Years ago, we did these weekly memory verses, and the very first theme we did was trust. And the very first verse we memorized, I don't know how many people still remember it, Psalm 9, verse 10. Those who know your name will trust in you. For you have never forsaken those who seek you. How great is that, that it's still burned in people's hearts? It's the confidence we have. We're confident of his character. We're confident of his goodness. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 was another one that we had in that first month of memory verses. And it says this, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And don't just lean to your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will. These are words of assurance. Direct your path. God has a unique call and purpose for Good Life as part of his greater church and his kingdom purpose. It didn't begin with Good Life and it doesn't end with Good Life. We are just a blip in what he is doing on a much bigger scale, but what a privilege to be part of it. Earlier this year, we began to earnestly pray about what God might want to do in our midst coming into this year. We didn't want to miss an opportunity if God was positioning us. And when COVID took it the way it did, we just were praying, going, God, if there's anything you want to change, if there's anything that you want to do, we want to see your direction for the road ahead. Good life is His. It always has been, and it must be allowed to be His. Seasons are a part of any healthy church or organization. The same is true for the Good Life Church and community. We see it in the world around us, seasons of winter and spring and summer and autumn. But even when it's unseen, God is doing that which He designed in creation. I was so grateful for this Good Life story and timeline that Jeff put together. It's a great reminder to all of us, and you'll be able to see it again tomorrow in the online service. But looking back is always a good reminder or reference of where we have been, but it doesn't hold us captive to the what was. It does not hold us captive to the what was, but it should give us the courage and enable us to take a hold of what is ahead. That's why in that psalm that we just heard read to us, God reminds His people, says, look, this is all the things I've done. But don't dwell on all those great things of the past. Use those to really spur you on to take a hold of that which He is doing. That passage has drawn us into this season. His faithfulness, but His purpose that we look ahead to. I'm glad for our history, but I am very much anticipating what is ahead for God's kingdom work through Good Life. God gave a vision in May 1988, and out of that, Doug and Marty and families courageously birthed and laid the foundations of Good Life. In 2001, Benny Tan took on leadership for 4 years. In 2005, when we had no idea what we were doing, Donna and I were invited to take on leadership in this community. It's been an incredible 15 years of our lives of growing, developing, and a maturing season for Good Life. But after 15 years, the time has come for a new season for Good Life. Sometimes for new leaders to rise up and thrive in liberty, the old has to stand aside. Sometimes for courage to come forth, new challenges have to be embraced. And sometimes for faith to be embraced, fear must be acknowledged. And I believe honestly as I stand before you that we stand on a threshold of a new season that is going to take courage and it's going to take faith and it's going to take new leadership. And this is why I believe that God has asked Donna and I if we would be willing to step aside for all that He desires to do. This is not a reactionary mid-COVID decision. It's not a decision under any sort of duress or pressure. It's not a hurried decision, but rather one that we've made actively seeking God. It's not a rash decision, but rather a patient and prayerful one. It's not an easy decision, but a painful one, but also a decision that is genuinely thankful and genuinely joyfully expectant. I want to give you a snapshot, and it is a very brief snapshot of the journey of the last 14 months for us. On the 1st of August 2019, a man I know came to me and he said, I feel like God wants to speak something to you. And I'm like, great, I like hearing when God speaks. And he says, bottom line, change is coming. And I felt very challenged. You know, because you can quickly say, yeah, I'm good for change. I'm good for change. I like change, in fact. But then when I was faced with the decision, I basically said, nah, I don't want change to look like that. And it was an opportunity that someone had presented. But God used that to really ask me this question: are you even willing? Are you even willing? And it took me 2 months, and I've got emails back and forth with people. But on the 19th of November, through an email, I said no to a position that I had been allowed to challenge me, but yes to being willing if change was to come. That's a year ago. And the sense of waiting, though, just kind of sat there until June of this year. In June of this year, I was just doing some study in my office and I picked up a very old Bible. It was the only one I could lay my hands on at the time, and I was reading something out of 2 Timothy 3. And as I'd finished reading it, I literally just flipped over a page and a bookmark, and there is a passage in 2 Timothy 4. I don't know when I underlined it, and I don't know when I put a big black box around it, but it stood out to me right in front of me, and I read it. And it said this: "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I've fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. And now there's in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award on that day. But not just to me, but all who have longed for his appearing." And I could have shut my Bible and I could have put it away. There was no one else in the office to witness it. But it would not quit. And I went home and I talked to Donna about it. And we prayed together. And on July 14th, I shared with the executive team what I felt God was speaking and challenging. Together, as the leadership team of Good Life, we waited. And we always pray and wait in unanimity. It's not a one side wins if there's more. It's a unanimity. Is God speaking or is he not? We fasted, we've prayed, and we accept what we believe is God's direction. And it has since been confirmed by dear, prayerful friends. We don't know what it looks like, but the Lord does. Of this, I am most confident. We don't have anywhere to go. No alternate plan, no destination. This is, and you are, our community. What will it look like? Talking it through, the exec have asked, and we've decided, I'm part of that exec, that I should take an extended sabbatical to rest and wait, not to just frantically look for the next thing. This means that for a season, I'm not going to be around after Christmas. In closure, I acknowledge the need for rest. I do. If you know me, whatever I do 100%, and I leave it all on the field. I've done that here. At this point, after we go away for a little bit, Donna's planning to return to her role in the cafe and as part of the worship gatherings. But we simply don't quite know what we're facing. But I know this. I know who we face it with. And I'm going to hand to Stephen in a moment, but it's with confidence I now say, before you, my church, and my family, I have fought the good fight. I finished my part of this race. I've kept the faith. I've answered the call. I've run with a clear conscience and a heart after God. I may not have run the perfect race, but I tried to run it well with my eyes fixed on Christ. I've served with a clear conscience and a heart after Jesus, the great servant. And I've served with a heart to put others first and others' needs ahead of our own. I fought with a clear conscience for what I believe has been just and right and good. And I fought for you, even if at times it might feel it's been against you. I've not held back, and I don't finish this season and this time wishing I'd done more. Maybe some things differently, but I know I've given my all and I've spent myself liberally. Many years ago, I said this: when I finish, I want to finish tired. I have. I have loved. I do love. And I will continue to love those that I've served alongside those I've been able to serve, those who have been a part of my team, you, Good Life, as my family and my community, and above all, God, in all his greatness, his faithfulness, and his goodness. And now I would simply pray, Good Life, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord God Almighty lift up the light of his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Now, and tomorrow and in the months ahead, and all that he has in store. And as I ask Stephen to come, I genuinely want to say thank you for allowing me both to lead and to serve you in these last 15 years. Thank you.
Do we all need to take a big deep breath? Feel free. Tim and Donna, I commend you for your courage. The easiest thing, as Tim said, would be to close that Bible and just push the Bible aside and not listen to that prompting of what God had for him and Donna. The courageous thing is to step into the unknown. And I commend you guys for the way you have always led in faith and in courage. I would ask you to take a bit of a Selah moment, to pause and to reflect, even to stop and to listen. I'm very aware that pretty much everything I'm going to be about to say is going to be blah, 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 blah in the back of what Tim has just said. But I would ask you to listen because I think it's important. But let me just allow me to remind you a couple of things. That God is faithful. He is all-knowing. He is a good, good God who works all things together for good. He has an incredible preordained plan for Tim and for Donna. He has an amazing future for Good Life and has a path set out for each of you. Last time we were together, nearly 3 weeks ago, I talked around this idea of endings, transitions and new beginnings. And as you can see, all of these are in play at the moment. What is an ending for us, Good Life, is also an ending for Tim and Donna. As we all venture into this season of transition, but expectantly waiting for the new beginnings that God has for us. As the scripture we read earlier, we've sensed this year, even before this announcement, that this would be a year of the new thing. See, transition seasons can be some of the hardest to navigate. But I want to encourage you that just because you don't see God doing something, it doesn't mean that he's not doing anything. God is always at work in the midst of situations that we face. Transition seasons and new beginnings can be some of the most exciting seasons of our lives, and they're fertile ground for growth as we surrender to the glorious work of Christ in our lives. A scripture that I've grabbed hold of over this last little season, and one that I think we can all cling to, and we as a church leadership will as well, is Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5, which says this: "Show me the path where I should walk, O Lord. Point out the right road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long, I put my hope in you. During this season, I would ask for your patience and your trust. This is probably one of the most significant seasons we've walked through as a Good Life community. And we, the executive leadership team, take this incredibly seriously. We feel the weight of it. But more than anything, we want to hear the voice of God in the midst of it as we process it. We won't rush it. We won't rush to what the next thing is, because we more than anything want to know what that new thing is that God is wanting to do. We'll continue to share the journey with you as we navigate it. And a bit of just a date claimer that on Wednesday, December 2nd, we'll be having an AGM, our annual AGM, where we can have the opportunity to discuss this further. Studies show that there are three things that have the potential to cause the most disruption in a community of faith. Change of pastor, change of service times, and change of worship style. We're pretty much navigating all of those. But I have absolute peace that as we journey this together in faith and trust, God will lead us through it. Because as I consider the past 30 years of Good Life, God has always been faithful. God has always been trustworthy. And I have every confidence that as we walk this defining moment out for us now, He will continue to do so. If I could have one brief heart-to-heart moment as part of the executive team here and speaking to you, our community of faith, I would ask that you do not jump to conclusions. Don't create your own narrative or your own story around what's playing out. Don't engage in conversation that isn't based on assumption or hearsay or gossip. But do pray. Do pray for Tim and Donna. Do pray for Good Life. Do pray for the executive and the leadership teams of Good Life. It's been talked about a few times. 2020 has certainly turned a whole lot of things upside down. Systems and models and businesses and structures that used to work need to be rethought and re-looked at and reimagined. And in many ways, this is exactly the place we're at with Good Life on a number of levels. And it got us thinking about this idea of pioneering again, pioneer again. You see, our purpose remains the same. What we are called to do has not changed, and why we do what we do has not changed. How we do it quite possibly has. But we will seek God as we venture in and pioneer again. The year is 1915, and Ernest Shackleton, an English adventurer, and his team of 27 set out to explore the Antarctic with the goal of crossing the continent. It was going to be one of the biggest polar journeys ever attempted, of over 1,700 miles. The idea was to travel from the southernmost tip of the earth across the whole continent. In an interview with the New York Times, Shackleton is reported to say, The unknown fields in the world which are still unconquered are narrowing, but there still remains this great work. I love this. What many would have considered foolish and even a death sentence, Shackleton is able to declare that there still remains this great work. Unfortunately, the crew of the Endurance would never reach Antarctica. Just a few days out of South Georgia Island, the ship encountered miles and miles of pack ice, and they were soon trapped as winter set in early. The crew was stranded there for 10 months aboard the ship. The ship eventually crushed by ice and sank, so the crew boarded life rafts. They landed on a tiny island. Shackleton left all but five men on the island and ventured off to get help, traveling a further 800 miles. And eventually they did get help. And remarkably, not one single life was lost. Another part of this story is how Shackleton actually went about recruiting his team. He posted this ad in the newspaper, and it'll be up here on the screen for you, which many said led to pulling, I guess, the caliber of people together that did. And this is what the ad said. Men wanted for a hazardous journey. Low wages, bitter cold, long hours of complete darkness, safe return doubtful, honour and recognition in event of success. Who's in? Probably not the pitch you would do these days if you're looking to get a team together. But it got me thinking, is what would an advert look like for Good Life if we were about to start on a venture to pioneer again? So I had a crack. Men and women, young and old, boys and girls, wanted to pioneer again. To embark on an adventure to impact our community, our nation, and the world for God and for His kingdom. Before us still remains a great work that will see us plow new ground, live in reckless abandonment to the Father's will, love abundantly, and to surrender all. It is a call to be the church, to live out the Great Commission, proclaiming to all who we have opportunity the message of hope that is found in Jesus Christ. Where this adventure takes us is not completely known. But this I can assure you, as the Father has promised, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And so we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. It's this same pioneering spirit that started Good Life in the very beginning. It's the same pioneering spirit that saw a young family get on a plane 15 years ago and fly into Australia, not knowing where they would end up. Will you answer the call to pioneer again? Will we answer the call to pioneer again? I have every confidence in God. He is faithful. Today's news is significant, it is big, and it is large, and your brains are just spinning out of control at the moment. But our prayer is that you would know great peace at this time, as we lean into the Father, and that as we navigate this together, and we pioneer again. I'm going to ask Tim and Donna just to come up, and I'd love to just pray with them. We're going to have an opportunity at our December gathering. We're back here again, and then we'll be able to have an official send-off for them. But it would be good to just pray for these guys together, and I'm going to ask if you could stand with me as I lead us in that prayer. Extend your hands to them. That'd be good. Father, I want to thank you for Tim and Donna, for Holly and Caleb who couldn't be here. And Lord, I want to thank you for this family. I'm in awe of the fact that you would pull a young family from the other side of the world to a small little church on the Sunshine Coast to establish your plan and purpose here. And Lord, that over the last 15 years, this couple have faithfully served you. They've poured out their heart and soul, and today we want to honour them, Lord. And Father, as Tim prayed that prayer over us, I prayed over him that you would bless them and that you would keep them, that your face would shine upon them, Lord, and that you would grant them your peace. Lord, I pray that the days ahead are even more influential, more significant even than the days that have been. That you would guide and that you would direct and that you would establish your plan and purposes for their life. Lord, we thank you for them. And Father, for us as a church, as we pioneer again, would you show us your way? Would you show us your way? And we are so thankful, Lord, for your faithfulness. And we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Donna. Thank you. Grab a seat. It's a bit of a different Thanksgiving service, but in some ways, it probably shows us how much we have to be thankful for what God has done and for what he is going to do. Part of our Thanksgiving services traditionally would always take up a Thanksgiving offering. Sometimes it'd be for a particular project. Last year was to finish off, clear the debt from the building project that we were a part of, that we'd just finished. And I think for me, Thanksgiving is just, an offering and generosity is a great way to shift our perspective. In all that is going on in the world today, I believe that when we're generous, it changes our perspective on things that we see. And so this maybe is probably maybe one of our most significant offerings. Now, you may not be prepared to do it today, and that's absolutely okay, and I'd actually probably encourage you to think on it over the coming weeks. But there's probably two things we want to see this offering go towards. And the first is to Tim and Donna. We'd like to take an offering in our December 19th event when we have that as a way of showing our appreciation to them and what they have brought to Good Life over the last 15 years. So I'd ask you to take those offerings, and you may have brought them today, just hang on to them and ask all of us to prayerfully consider what we would like to give to sow into this family. So they have a season, a period of time where they don't have to worry about the finances. They can just seek the will of God for their lives and for this next stage. And it's expression of our thankfulness for what they have done for us. So we'll do that in December. So please, between now and then, be thinking how you may like to participate in that. The other thing, and Tim mentioned that Doug and Marty here and Meriden have their Thanksgiving service tomorrow. Meriden Community Church is a church that is birthed out of the same DNA as Good Life because we've got the same founders. I don't know if we're sisters churches officially. I don't know what we call us, but I do know we have a strong, strong connection. Meriden is about to embark on doing essentially a similar project to what we've done at Good Life down in Caloundra. And we thought as a leadership that we would like to just make a real sign of our standing alongside that community down there and invite you to participate in their Thanksgiving offering. And as they start to raise funds for that, they're about halfway there, nearly, of the funds required to see it completed fully. As we did with Good Life, there is the opportunity to participate that through ASF if you need tax deduction, if that's a benefit to you. But there are some forms that are going to be up the back which you can take, which will show you how you can give to that. And that's our way as Good Life Church, standing alongside Meriden and championing them and cheering them on as they embark on this next chapter for them as well. So there's two avenues where you're able to participate and give in our Thanksgiving service. Our Thanksgiving offering this year.
Wow, that is big news for our community. I want to encourage you to take the time to allow this to affect you. Take the time to process this, talk to other people about how you're feeling, and also reach out and take the time to encourage Tim and Donna. Tim's email address is down below, and I'm sure that he would love to hear from you. As Tim and Donna have dedicated themselves to our community now for 15 years, and we are so grateful for all that they've instilled within our community, but also I'm sure they've instilled something within you. I know Tim has left a little bit of Jesus within me, and I pray that Jesus continues to expand and others can see that too. So I want to encourage you, take time, write them an email, share your appreciation for the journey that they have been on with us all. And we're so grateful for them. And we're expecting and looking forward to what God does in the future for Tim and Donna, but also for us as a community here at Good Life. Stephen also spoke to today about our Thanksgiving offering. And I just want to remind you that the form is available on our website for that. And it is a different form than you would often use for our Good Life Community Church Thanksgiving, as this form is dedicated to the work that's going to be happening in Meriden. So make sure that you do access the right form. If you have any questions, reach out and we're happy to help. And we are so excited that we are having our gathering next week. So, but make sure that you do register. The 10 a.m. will also include a kids program. And so if you are coming along, be sure to register your kids on the form that you'll see on our website. And also we have then the 5 p.m. gathering. So if you want to come to both, get amongst it. But the 5 p.m. is going to be more of a worship, communion, and prayer evening. But hey, we are going to be gathering. There's gatherings happening all across the coast. We're so stoked for all that you are doing as you continue to host gatherings in your homes. And hey, we're together in this. We're Good Life. Let's continue to encourage one another and be Jesus to the people in our communities. We love you. Mwah.